As I said, we're going to be doing the 127th Psalm, Shira Ma'alot Lishlomo. This is a relatively, or it seems like a relatively straightforward mizmor, one that doesn't need a lot of analysis, you would think. Well, now comes the issue, Lishlomo. Is this written by Shlomo? Was this written in dedication for Shlomo? Was this written by David HaMelech as a message to Shlomo? Because le can mean shel, and it can mean bishvil. Rashi tells us, Shir she'amar David al Shlomo bno, a song written by David about, or I should say for his son, a warning. She'tzafa beruach hakodesh shehu yivnet bet hamikdash. He knew by Ruach HaKodesh that his son would be zoicha to build Beit HaMikdash, and he wanted to give him, if you like, a little bit of mussar about what that might mean. Ibn Ezra says, no, this was composed by one of the Levi'im about Shlomo, and Radak and the Me'iri don't tell us who wrote it, but they tell us that it is for Shlomo or about Shlomo. And the proof positive is later on, namely Shlomo HaMelech had another name, at least one other name, and that was Yedidia. And because it says Yedido, it might be in fact a clue that this is about Yedidia. But we'll deal with one step at a time. You will notice that we see here a pattern that we had seen before, where you have a certain measure of shirshul, it's called. Im Hashem lo yivne bayit, shav amlu bonav bo. Im Hashem lo yishmor il, shav shakad shomer. And you picked up these lines over here. Not unlike what we saw, lulei Hashem shehaya lanu. If God should not build the house, in vain did all of the builders work for it. If Hashem will not watch over the city, shav shakad shomer, in vain did the watchman guard over the city. You will notice that the builders are plural. The watcher is one. Is there a reason for this? Well, on the surface, all we're really doing is all of the human efforts in the world, be they many or be they one, all of them are in vain were it not for the Ribbono Shel Olam's special hashgacha, were it not for divine providence, none of the things that we do would succeed. We need siyata dishmaya for virtually every breath we take. And in that sense, if you follow Rashi's method, David is warning his son that the greatest architects, the most wonderful craftsmen, will not succeed in building this house if Hashem will not be part of this. And more importantly, if Hashem will not watch over the city, almost prescient that the city would be destroyed and Beit HaMikdash would be burned. Shav Shakad Shomer. Now you can't miss the fact that we have here a predominance of Shin, Shin, Shin. Shav Shakad Shomer. And is this perhaps a reference to Shlomo himself, who may have seen himself as Shomer Ha'ir, the guard of the city? And he tells him, it for naught you are guarding the city. Now, the word shakad, shkida, is used in modern Hebrew to mean diligence, how hard you work. But we also know that the word shkedia, which refers to the almond, is because it's the first one to begin to blossom in the spring. So there might still be snow on the ground, Aval hashkedia porachat. Remember, we sing that song right before Tu Bishvat, and it is the first one to give its fruit as well as its blossoms. So the shkida ve shomer is his diligence, his complete focus on his task. But more importantly, it's also because he gets up early in the morning. And he is not only diligent, but he is rushing to the job early to get there, isn't lazy to come there and take his watch. But it will do no good. And now, picking up on the word shav shav, comes the next line, which might in fact pick up on the notion of shakad. Shav lachem mashkimei kum. For naught it for you. It did you no good if you got up early in the morning. And then you would take this line, shav lachem me'acharei shevet. And it does you no good, it's for naught, that you sat very late at night on your job. So what we are being told here is that those people who work so hard from early morning until late at night, going to sleep very, very late, thinking the more hours they put in, the later they work, the better it is. Ah, shav lachem, it'll do you no good. Ochlei lechem ha'atzavim. And by the time it's all over, by the time you've gotten up so early and kept sleep from your eyes and were late up late at night, all you will have is eat, if you like, mournful bread. Now there is an allusion here to something you should know, which is why you have a number one here, and I want you to see my footnote. Mishlei, written by Shlomo HaMelech, or compiled by Shlomo HaMelech, tells us as follows, Birkat Hashem hita'ashir. God's blessing will make you wealthy. It is not how much work you do. And when God gives you siyata dishmaya, sometimes you can have wealth without any great effort, without the sweat of your brow. Because when he blesses you, lo yosif etzev ima. He does not spice it up. He does not add that wealth with sorrow. Because Mishlei warns us that very often, people who pursue wealth and accumulate money also accumulate agmas nefesh, also accumulate aggravation and worry, and they end up, he tells us, doing nothing but leaving it to their heirs with precious little pleasure for all of their efforts and all of their hard work. Now on the surface, this seems to be violating Mishlei's other admonitions against being lazy, against not working hard. Moreover, it seems to fly in the face of what the curse was for Adam after the sin. He was told then, Arura ha'adama ba'avurcha, the soil has been cursed because of you. Be'itzavon tochlena kol yemei chayecha. You will eat it. Eat the adama, or eat the fruits of the adama. Eat the soil with sorrow all the days of your life. And then he continues, Be'ze'ata pecha tochal lechem. You will eat it by the sweat. And they usually say of your brow, apecha can refer, by the way, to your panim or to your nose. You can almost imagine the sweat going down your nose. Ad shufcha el adama. You are doomed to eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you will return to the soil from which you were taken. Ki afarata. Ve'elafar tashuv, you're just dust, and you will return to dust. So what is he telling us? It's for naught that you're getting up early? Or working late at night? Weren't we cursed that we would have to, in fact, work so hard to get our bread? And then, by the time we're finished, all we're going to get is ochlei lechem atzabim? Yes, you'll get bread, but it'll be bread that will be bread of sorrows, of pain. Comes the next line and confounds us. Ken yiten li yedido shena. Now our problem is, what is the word ken? Particularly since you see I highlighted it with gray over here and then it comes again, ken. Typically the word ken means so it will be. You mean lechem ha'atzabim is also going to go to yedido? Or achen, as Radak would want you to do. Achen, indeed, he will give to the yedido. And our question is, maze yedido? If I take the position that this is a veiled reference to Shlomo, he's telling him all of the hard work, all of the efforts are going to do you nothing good. If God wants to give it to you, he will give it to you easily. And he will give it to you how? To the one who is Yedid, to the one who loves him, and he loves him. God loves you, loves the Yedid, and the Yedid loves God. Because notice the word Yedid is ani ledodi vedodi li shena. He will give him the same thing that you worked so hard for while he is asleep. That's your common translation. I went to search approximately 20 translations, all of whom treat the word shena as sleep. But typically shena is spelled with a hey. Am I saying that one who God loves, he'll give it to him even if he's asleep? This seems to fly in the face of Kohelet, of Mishle, all of whom praised hard work, diligence, and mocked the person who wants to sleep all the day long. So we will look down at these two footnotes that I have for you here. The first is as follows, from Shmuel, the birth of Shlomo. You will remember that Bathsheba got pregnant by David before her husband was actually dead. Remember that? And the question was whether or not he'd actually divorced her, Uriah. That child ultimately died. Vayenachem David et Bathsheba ishto. He comforted her. Vayavo eleha. He came to her. Vayishkavi mah. He lay with her. Vateled ben. And she gave birth to a son. Vayikra vatikra. We have a ktiv and a kri, implying that this was her idea, but when he named him, kara et shmo Shlomo, implying peace. Vehashem ahavo, and God loved him. Vayishlach beyad Natan hanevi, and he sent a message to Natan hanavi. That was the same prophet that had told him that the sword would never leave his house, that what he had done was wrong. And the Navi renamed him, Vayikra et Shmo Yedidia Bavur Hashem. And he renamed him the friend of God because of Hashem, for the sake of Hashem, knowing that God already loved this Shlomo. So is this a reference not to somebody who is a Yedid Hashem, meaning a Yirei Elokim, and you're calling him Yedido in this case? Or is it a veiled reference to Shlomo himself? And his father admonishing him, telling him, the hard work, the hard effort, everything that you're doing is wonderful, but woe to you. Woe to you if you forget that it will come to naught if Hashem is not with you. And Hashem will not be with you if you violate any of his laws, which of course later on will happen when he marries Bat Paro. So that was already the beginning, if you like, foreseeing and trying to warn him about what might happen to him. But to the notion somehow that God would give to those he loves the wealth that, while they are asleep, flies in the face of what Mishlei tells us, not in one place, but several places. He tells us, Ad matay atzel tishkav, lazy bones, how long will you lay in bed? Matay takum mishnatecha, when will you get up from your sleep? And he tells us elsewhere, Al te'av sheina, don't love your sleep so much. Pen tivaresh, lest you lose all your assets and you become poor. Pkach einecha, open your eyes. Vesva lechem, so that you can be satisfied by bread. In other words, sleepy people won't have enough to make a living. And this seems to imply otherwise. Ken yiten li dido sheina. Therefore, Rav Elchanan Samet argues that this sheina does not mean sleep. Now, Chazal tell us that the word sheina appears everywhere with shin nun hey. And only here does it appear in Shin Nun Aleph. And if that's the case, he says, maybe it doesn't mean that at all. He tells us as follows. Furthermore, it also says, Ken, so will he give to his friend, to the one he loves. And you can say, what? You're going to give them the same thing you gave to those that got up early? That stayed up late? You're going to give them also lechem atzabim? I don't think so. And therefore, the Me'iri adds the word bishena. He will give you what the other one got working hard while you were asleep, didn't even know where it came to you. Because when Siyata Dishmaya appears, you don't know from where it's going to come. Nevertheless, we seem to have a problem with this because it seems to fly in the idea of the fact that human beings have to work hard, even if not for their living, even if not at their jobs. Certainly to get up early and learn Torah, or to sit up late and learn Torah, as Rashi would tell us. So why are you praising sleep here? And he cites some of the Semitic scholars who point out that in several languages and in certain places in the Tanakh, the word sheina, shin, nun, aleph, means stature, praise, ma'ala. So he will give the one he loves stature, position, honor. Where do we see this? Now, when he tries to bring me other sources, it turns out that I have a problem with it because I can read it both ways. But he does cite one case, and that one case indicates that perhaps the word can mean honor. But then we still are left with a problem about what do I do with the word ken? So will he give the one that he loves honor? You just didn't make it into honor, you made it into shav. Was this instead of play? Please notice how close they look. Shav, shin vav aleph. And Shena, Shin Nun Aleph. And you see how close a Nun is to a Vav. Really? What will he give his Yedid? What will he give him? Hine Nachalat Hashem, the gift, the inheritance that God would give, to those he loves, is banim, sons. Schar pri habeten. That is the reward. And the reward is the fruit, not of the soil, but of the reward of the fruit of the womb of the belly. What then is he speaking of? Is he perhaps instead mocking those who would build big fancy homes, big cities, early in the morning and late at night, and have no one to give it to, and no legacy to transmit, because they're all for themselves? Nachlat Hashem, the inheritance that God gives you, is banim, schar pri habeten. And if you have them, kechitzim biyad gibor, they are like so many arrows in the hand of a warrior. Your children are arrows in your hand to use against whom? Kein bnei haneurim. So are, and now we have a problem with this word, bnei haneurim. Some treat bnei haneurim to mean children in their youth, young children. But Radak and others argue, no. The opposite of bnei haneurim is bnei haskunim. Bnei haskunim are children that you gave birth to in your old age. Oh, how appropriate that is for our age. Nowadays, you see people giving birth at a much later age because they need to make sure that they have enough money. They've got to have a house. They've got to have an established career. So women are pushing off childbearing to a much later age. And he says, no, that's a terrible mistake. Bnei haneurim are children that you have when you are young. I'll soon explain how Rabbi Shimshon Lefael Hirsch deals with this. He says, young parents, even if they're not established financially and economically yet, they have the fresh energy to raise children. They have the patience. They have chedvat chaim. They have joy in their lives. And they have the chance to escort their children through all of their upbringing, through their young ages, through their teens, through their young marrieds. And they live to become, if you like, young grandparents. And that is the greatest joy of all. What good does it do if you have established your career and you established your finances and waited to have children until you were old, when you no longer have the patience, when you no longer have the energy to raise them, and when you will not live to see any naches from them, when you will die before they have a chance to marry and bear children? That is Rabbi Shimshon Lefael Hirsch's take of it. Because he agrees that Bnei Haneurim, like Ibn Ezra says, are children that are born to you when you were young. That's what God gives you. They are chitzim biyad gibor. How so? Because they will grow up and perhaps help take care of you. They will grow up, and if you are a farmer, they will help you till the soil. They will be there in an agrarian society. Having a large family was in fact a way of ensuring your wealth instead of the other ways around. It wasn't, oh boy, one more mouth to feed. It was one more person to help with a joint effort together with everybody else. Rashi takes a completely different approach. And I suspect that Rashi took a different approach because we're no longer in an agrarian society in our own country, at least in his mind. And so what are Bnei Haneurim? He says, these are the students that you manage to educate and raise from their youth. You influence them from the time that they were very young. And those people, says Fono, that you raised from the time that they were very young, oh, they won't depart the way. They will become, you are raising them to become Nachlat Hashem Banim. You are raising them le Torah ule mitzvahs. You are raising them in a way that will actually bring credit to you. And that credit is the arrows in your hand. Ashrei hagever, oh, happy is the man. Asher mile et eshpato mihem, who filled his quiver with those arrows, meaning with those children, because they're schuyot, the schuyot that they have. Rashi says, if you raised proper students, then their achievements accrue to your schut. What they do in the world becomes part of your benefits. Those are your dividends that you are going to accumulate. That's what you are going to put in your quiver. Lo yevoshu, they will not be put to shame. Because we know that some children can put us to shame by their bad behavior. Why will they not be put us to shame? Ki yedabru et oivim bashar. And what do most of your parshanim tell you? That the word yedabru here does not mean speak. It's an homonym. And I'm showing you two examples. In Shoftim, we're saying Vishamata Mayidabehu. You will hear what they speak. If you can hear it, it means Lidabel. But then in Tehillim in Yutchet it says, Ha'el Hanoten Nekamotli, oh, he praises the God who gives me the experience of vengeance. Vayadber Amim Tachtai, and he will crush and vanquish nations under me. Lehadbir is to exterminate. It's to crush, it's to kill. It's a word that sounds the same but has two meanings. And since in this case it's about the oivim basham, if I have sons and I raised them when they were young, they become my quivers. They will become the young soldiers that will vanquish the enemy that comes to the gate. But as I told you, Rashi is looking at this no longer as being in Eretz Yisrael, where we are tilling the soil and guarding our borders. And therefore, he speaks of raising young students to become Talmidei Chachamim, who can ledaber, they can confront with debate the enemies in the Sha'ar. You remember that in many places in the Tanakh, the Sha'ar is the gates where the elders get together and they argue halacha. They will not put me to shame because they will be able to, in the academies, in as scholars, argue with the best of them, showing that they had been properly taught. They are not amaratzim. They know their stuff. And then I can share with you as follows. The Medrash tells us as follows. Shav lachem mashkimei kum me'acharei shevet ochlei lechem a'atzabim. These are the wives of Talmidei Chachomim, says Yalkut Shimoni, who work so hard, get up early in the morning, stay late at night, and at best eat sourful bread, living, if you like, on a pittance. Ah, but God will give Yedido Shena. He will give them both stature as well as rest after 120. Mize Yedido, says the Medrash. Who is the Yedid? Ele Hanashim. These are the women that enabled their men to sit and learn Torah. Fascinating how they took this whole thing, right, and switched it around. It is now Schar Pri Habaten, because it's this woman that brings about these boys, these fruit of the belly, raises them and makes them like arrows in the hands of the warrior. It is the woman, say Chazal, who is the Yedida, who is the beloved of God. Because in order for him to go to shul early in the morning, he can't help her with breakfast and get the kids dressed. And so that he can get his shir at night, he can't help her put the kids to sleep late at night. So she works by day, and she has to get up early in the morning. And that's the story that you hear, of course, in Eshet Chayil, who does not understand what it means to eat the bread of laziness.